Welcome to The Vault. Over Pastor Hal's 60 years of ministry, we at Life Ministry Church were blessed to hear some amazing sermons and teaching series. As God's word is timeless, the principles behind these messages still apply for today. We hope and pray that these messages will bless you as much as they did when Pastor Hal first delivered them.
Well, this afternoon I just wanted to talk to you as the sort of the opening talk for the year. And there's quite a lot more to follow, but I thought we'd try and cover some outlines this afternoon. Over the holidays, I endeavoured to reassess the assembly and its functioning, and now I want to share just a few concepts with you and set direction for 1982 so that we, all of us, can move into the new year with real anticipation. Also, I hope with a determination that this year will be profitable both for the kingdom of God and for yourselves. Now, we propose to share details with the church and the home leaders on the 20th of February, and then they're going to bring those details back into the church and the homes and discuss with you. What I've tried to do in my own mind is to shape once again and, if possible, put aside those things which are not profitable to the kingdom, that is. Now, it certainly wouldn't be wisdom to exclude everything that isn't specifically profitable to the kingdom. For instance, family film night. That's certainly something that's shakeable, but it obviously also has benefits which warrant its retention. However, the important thing is that our emphasis be put on the things that are unshakable, and that we are all clear of the priorities in both our personal and our corporate lives. I've endeavoured to simplify our structure and also to treat as a priority the need for everyone in the fellowship to grow in 1982. Now, this year my personal main efforts will be directed into the assembly fellowship. The school is now well established and under the capable care of our brother Dale Kent, and life care is now well established, and brother Ron Lewis is devoting the bulk of his time to that. And with those two well established and functioning, and Bible College has functioned well for some years without demanding too much from me, I feel free again to spend time in the assembly, more time in the assembly. Pastor Gordon, of course, has a competent hold on all we're doing administratively and in the development of the future, and I feel that I can move more freely and give more time into the assembly once again. Pray for that Band-Aid. The theme for 1982, I've called the dynamics of Christian living. I've done that because wherever I've been in the last 12 months, it's become apparent to me that the Holy Spirit seems to be talking about kingdom living still. And although we've talked about kingdom living, maybe we haven't majored on it, and I feel this is a genuine emphasis of the Holy Spirit. As you know, there are two kingdoms, and we're going to give you notes for your church and the homes on this. But in Luke 4 and verse 6, Satan claimed authority over the world, and the Lord Jesus Christ did not challenge this. It would seem that after Satan's rebellion, when he rose up against God with the intent of taking the throne of God if he could, and failed and was thrown down, that he and his demonic hosts made this earth their headquarters. And since then, sinners, the Bible says in Acts 26, have been under his dominion, under Satan's dominion. That is very clear. As a result, Satan and his kingdom blinds the minds of unbelievers, these are all scriptural statements, contends with the saints, inflicts disease, and seeks to steal and to kill and to destroy. However, as we all know, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the midst of this situation and stripped Satan's authority away from him and opened a door for every human being who wants it back into his own kingdom. Through Christ's sacrifice, through the work that he did on Calvary, there are all sorts of incredible things that we as individuals have gained. We've gained salvation, redemption, forgiveness, justification, cleansing, atonement, reconciliation, relationship with God, and so much else. These are all true things. And each one of us now have a choice. A choice as to which kingdom we are going to live in. Whether in Satan's kingdom, which is this world system outside, which means living in obedience to the word of Satan, or to God's kingdom, which means separation from this world system and living in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the word that he has left us. That's a choice we all have. And I suppose most of you would say, well, we realize that, and there's no doubt what our choice is. But sometimes we so easily can say, well, there's no doubt about the choice, but our actions and our attitudes don't always conform to that choice. And so I'm challenging you today to reassess your answer to which of those two kingdoms you wish to be in, which of those two heads, Satan or Christ, to whom you wish to give your allegiance and obedience, and having made up your mind, and of course I know your answer, then do something about it in your everyday living. I want to talk for a moment about kingdom living. It's not enough just to be saved or born again. As Brother Ortiz preached, that experience should be dramatic enough to open our lives to the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God. In such a way that together those two might bring forth a deep desire for each of us to live fully and fulfilled in the kingdom of God. We want to try and do something about that. We all know that to be fed naturally is insufficient. We know that the food we eat has to be digested to bring forth a healthy body, a body that can begin to act and express itself. We only decline if we keep feeding and do nothing. And that does mean a decline in health and in most other things. And so it is with the teaching in the midst of our assembly. Our teaching must be far beyond concepts and must finally always come down to our behavior. As Brother Ortiz said, We can be informed, but not transformed. Now, I think that was Brother Van Baxter. But whichever one it's a very true statement. Keep praying. We can be informed, but not transformed. We all want to be transformed. So this year, our Assembly Fellowship theme will be the dynamics of kingdom living. And we're going to break this down into three areas of expression. First of all, the Sunday services. Secondly, the churches in the home. And thirdly, the kingdom cells. And we'll explain more about them after the 20th of February. In each of these three areas, there's going to be a different emphasis and a different input. In the Sunday services, the emphasis is going to be living as a new creation, being what we are. And I'm going to try, if I can, and teach what I believe is the real positive message. In the churches in the home, there will be an emphasis on kingdom living, which always must come down to behaviour and to relationships. And in the kingdom cells, which we haven't yet spoken about, there will be emphasis on evangelism and first steps. Let me talk for a moment about the next move of the Holy Spirit. I've already talked to you as an assembly about the lifting of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the charismatic move. I believe, and I think most of us sense, that we are moving quickly towards the next outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the next move of God. But at this moment, there is no outpouring of the Holy Spirit as a nation upon Australia. I'm sure we all want to be deeply involved in what the next move of God is. And I've said it before and I say it again, that I believe that it is our destiny as an assembly to be involved in it. Last year, as I've already ministered to you, there was an attack right across the body of Christ, right across our nation and other nations. And there was much restlessness and disturbance from Perth to Cape York. And I was personally involved in very much of it. And we experienced our share of that restlessness. This year, I want to say to you, right from the start, let us settle down. We are strong, we are united, and God has blessed us. That there is no doubt about. Now, if we move into these basic themes that I've outlined, there is no doubt that we will mature and develop and grow in God. And it is such a secure and balanced and obedient and hungry fellowship that the Holy Spirit will use in the next move of God in our land. I think now it's time we prepared ourselves, made ourselves ready. Let's listen to the prophetic word and watch for the hand of God to be outstretched to us in this year that lies ahead. I think it depends upon us. I'd like to encourage those who have a prophetic mantle on them this afternoon, that they stir up that mantle, because I think this year it needs to be exercised, and exercised continuously, that we might be encouraged by the Holy Spirit. So I make that challenge to everyone who has an acknowledged prophetic mantle upon them. If there are still those in the assembly who feel, for some reason, that they are unsettled or unhappy or not feeling 100% behind the oversight, the leadership, or the fellowship, then I suggest that you come quickly and see either me or one of the senior pastors or elders and discuss your distress. Maybe there's something we're not seeing that needs correction. Or maybe you've had some story back to front. And the answer always is to clear the air. So I think we need to stop access to the wiles and the deceits of Satan from today, having entrance into our fellowship. And that's in our personal hands. I personally expect 100% support, or alternatively, your approach to me if there is any problem in your heart. Let's be one or the other. I want to exhort you not to disturb others by taking your problems and breaking down their confidence in the assembly or the oversight. Come to us and share with us. Now, just summarizing, in our church in the home notes, we're going to set out all of the above thoughts and much else, plus whatever changes in our methods we propose, and you'll be able to discuss them at length with your church in the home leader. And he'll bring back comments which he feels are of value to us. And we want you, church in the home leaders, to do that. We'd like you to put it in writing and give it to Pastor Williamson and discuss it with him personally so that he can bring it into the eldership. This year, I hope that we can join together not to seek God for our own needs, basically, but to seek the growth and the extension of his kingdom. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto thee." And as usual, we as human beings tend to go the wrong way about things. We tend to think, well, we get our lives fixed up first. If God will meet our needs, then we'll get stuck into the kingdom. But Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom." You get your life functioning properly in the kingdom first, then all these other things will be added unto you. And I think there's a tremendous principle involved in that. So I believe if we can get our priorities in accord with God's, then we will know the automatic outpouring of his goodness and grace in the midst of our lives and of our needs. Here are three things I want each of us to join together in doing. First, there has been a lethargy and a disinterest settle on some areas and some of the folk in the assembly. No doubt. Many have told me. Now, I've already told you last year and again today of that satanic attack that has been right across the Western world against the body of Christ. We need to comprehend it. I have no doubt that this lethargy is part of that worldwide and Australia-wide attempt by demonic powers to wear down the saints in their fellowship and discourage them. I don't think there's been a place I've been to in the Western world in the last year where that same story hasn't been given to me by the pastors. Right across Australia, overseas, in New Zealand, it's quite remarkable. So our first step is to break that lethargy, and we can, because I believe it's demonic. Jesus said in Luke 11:19, "Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." I give you authority, Jesus said. And in a few minutes this afternoon, I'd like us to join together and as a body, just do that very thing. Just move in this afternoon and let's break that lethargy and drive out whatever it is that's found some hold, some veil that the enemy's been able to put across some areas of this fellowship of the Most High God. Second thing, I'm thinking of our messages that Brother Ern Baxter brought so wonderfully early in January. And the key in both attacking and driving back the enemy, also in moving forward into victory, always has been and always will be the Holy Spirit. So our second step this year will be to release again the Holy Spirit into our personal lives and into the midst of our fellowship. Luke 11, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to those who ask for it? Thirdly, let's set our hearts, every one of us, to grow in the kingdom of God this year. And in so doing, let us make relationships our prime concern. I'm going to try and do that to the extent I can, and I'm limited there. But if we all try and do something about relationships within the fellowship, then we will see growth. Relationships both towards God and towards our brothers and sisters. Today, we're going to come to the table of the Lord in a moment. And we're going to come to this table recognizing it as a very real covenant we're entering into, that it is a table of fellowship. We shouldn't partake of it if it isn't a table of real fellowship, not only with God, but with each other. Because we can't fellowship the Lord if we're not fellowshipping each other. That's not a possibility. The Epistle General of John make that very clear. If there have been some differences down there in the midst, then let them be resolved. You determine right now they're going to be resolved. If forgiveness is necessary, one toward the other, let forgiveness flow. Later on, if you have to, you can go to the person concerned. But at least as we come to the table, let these things be forthcoming. And where there have been barriers and obstacles and tensions, let them be washed away by the power of the Holy Spirit this afternoon. I'm certain there's not one person sitting here today whose desire isn't to see this fellowship grow, increase in grace, increase in love, increase in relationship, and increase in numbers as we see souls saved. It depends upon each one of us individually. It doesn't depend upon the pastors. It depends upon each one of you, each one of us. You have a vital part to play. You are part of the answer, or you are part of the problem. Every one of us that applies to. So I enlist your support in these three areas. First of all, to break off that lethargy from our fellowship and not let it return. Secondly, to open our lives anew to the Holy Spirit and let him break forth in our corporate midst in a lovely new expression. And thirdly, to mend any broken relationships and move forward as one loving and united body in our head, the Lord Jesus Christ.